Now what Sri Krishna comes out is that in all the pronouncements of enunciation, there is a great emphasis on your enunciation. You are enouncing. In other words, there is a great emphasis on yourself. That you are responsible, you are taking the decision, that you decide that you do not want kingdom, it is your decision. We are not considering as to whether from the future of the entirety of the world. We are only looking to your own happiness. You want to be happy because you say that happiness consists in sharing your enjoyment with the people whom you love. And these are the people who have to be killed. So what is your judgment? What is the criterion of your judgment? It is my happiness, and since my happiness consists in sharing my joy with all the others, and since they are going to be killed, therefore I will have no joy, therefore I do not want joy. It is purely an egoistic statement that you decide as to what is your happiness, and you are actually seeking your own happiness, and since your happiness consists in giving up this fight, therefore you decide it. It is not out of any great renunciation, it is actually your own joy that you are seeking by giving up this fight. It is Sri Krishna who discovers the subtlety of what we may be called rationalization or even self-deception. In order to escape from the problem that one faces, the usual psychology of individuals is to find dignified excuses so that you do not have to fight, you do not have to act. The problem becomes so difficult you cannot face it. What is being demanded is so difficult you do not want to face it, you do not want to do it. There is a great weakness, plebeian. But you do not want to admit to yourself that it is out of weakness. Therefore, there is a kind of rationalization or a kind of self-deception. You create a golden-plated argument in which what you say seems so dignified and so wonderful. And in India, the idea of tyaga is regarded as so great that if you declare that you are doing this because of sacrificing something, it looks wonderful. Taking advantage of this idea, Arjuna is rationalizing and says, I do not want kingdom, I do not want happiness. But it is not this. Actually, he wants happiness, but he says, my happiness consists in sharing the joy with my own people. It's not really that he doesn't want happiness. If you read the argument, it is very clear that he wants happiness, but happiness consists, according to him, in sharing the joy with your own people. The emphasis is upon my own people. Svajana. That is the word he used, svajana. With my own people I want to share the joy, and these are the very people whom I am asked to kill. So how can I have enjoyment? Therefore, I do not want the kingdom, I do not want the happiness. In the whole statement of Arjuna, there is first a confusion of values. Secondly, there is a subtle egoism. There is a desire. There is even tamasic inertia. I do not want to fight, has within it a very subtle kind of inertia, tamas. All these elements put together gives a state of mind that Arjuna has. And Sri Krishna conveys all these aspects, sometimes ruthlessly, sometimes very quietly, so that Arjuna may really see for himself where exactly his arguments were wrong and fallacious. So our first statement will be that the Gita should be understood as a whole. And we should not press one statement against the other and try to see how the different statements are made by Shri Krishna at different times, in what context, and how they all end together from an ultimate highest point of view. If you don't do it, we shall fall into some kind of a difficulty. And this difficulty is found in the fact that the Bhagavad Gita has been interpreted in so many different ways. As a result, today in India, we really do not know what the Bhagavad Gita's message is. There are several interpretations, and different people are giving different messages out of the Gita. And this being such an important work, something that is so much revered in the country, that if we have, in regard to this great work, different interpretations, it really creates a tremendous confusion in the country. Therefore, it is necessary to reconsider, to review the whole of the Gita and try to see its entirety. Take for example, there is a view that the Bhagavad Gita teaches an emphasis on the path of knowledge. There is another view which says that the Gita teaches only the path of devotion. The third view which says that the Bhagavad Gita teaches only the path of action. And each advocate believes that although the other two elements are present, those two elements are subordinate and ultimately to be transcended. According to those who believe in the path of action, of knowledge, there is a general theory that action can prepare you for salvation but cannot give it. That is to say, you can use action up to a certain point like a crutch or like a ladder. You rise from one point to the other, but having reached a certain point you throw it away, and only when you throw it away you can really enter into liberation. So the highest path is ultimately path of knowledge. Action is only a kind of a crutch, a kind of a help in the beginning for some time. Now if you read the Bhagavad Gita throughout, you will find many sentences which will confirm this view. Sri Krishna uses the word niyatam karma. Do the work which is prescribed, niyatam karma. Sri Krishna uses the word nirvana. We go into complete extinction of all karma. And therefore, taking advantage of these propositions, one can conclude, therefore the Bhagavad Gita says that if you want to do action, what I am asking you to do is niyatam karma. It is prescribed for you. You are a kshatriya, you should do this work. But ultimately, having done it, the real salvation lies only in nirvana. You resort to the path of knowledge, enter into complete silence of your being, and that is your ultimate salvation, or your perfection. Now this is one interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, this interpretation does not give adequate place to the constant exhortation that Sri Krishna makes in the beginning, in the middle, and even at the end on action. Even after giving the supreme secret in Sri Krishna's own words, Sri Krishna says, act and now fight. Even after giving the supreme secret, that when you reach the supreme state of your consciousness, the ultimate thing to be done is to fight and to act. Now this emphasis is subordinated by those who believe that the teaching of the Gita is for path of knowledge. And therefore there are controversies of all kinds, whether these statements by Sri Krishna are subordinate statements or major statements or principal statements. And who can decide this? Unless you make the whole study thoroughly, you yourself should come to the conclusion as to what is really the upshot of all that Sri Krishna has to say.